You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
According to our very own Chris Mortensen, Dallas Cowboys longtime owner and GM Jerry Jones is, quote, infatuated with Florida Gators tight end Kyle Pitts. Pitts widely considered the best non-quarterback talent in this draft. Now, the Cowboys currently have the number 10 pick in the 2021 draft, but Mortensen believes that Jones could trade up in order to select Pitts to join the Cowboys as another offensive weapon for Dak Prescott. So, Stephen A., let's start with you here. What would Pitts mean for this Cowboys squad?
Really? You know, let me tell you something. Okay, first of all, it would mean their offense is just that much more lethal because if you give Dak Prescott an elite tight end to go along with CeeDee Lamb, with Gallup, with Amari Cooper and these boys, and Ezekiel Elliott, assuming he resurrects himself instead of having aged in dog years because that's how it looked like at times last year, the Dallas Cowboys will have one of the prolific offenses in the game of football. They'll put up buckets. I mean, after all, they won an eighth, you know, they did have the eighth-ranked passing attack last year, even with Dak Prescott going down. But last time I checked, you got to play defense in the National Football League. Didn't this team rank 28th defensively? I think so. Weren't they second to last, ranked 31st against the run? I think so. Has not age and attrition kicked in? I mean, you did go through another season. I mean, do we think these young, spry boys that showed up last year suddenly going to be just as young and as spry? These are the Dallas Cowboys, y'all. They find a way to mess it up. Just wait. How many times do I have to tell y'all during the NFL season, just wait. Just wait. Just wait for it. It's coming. Ain't worry about it. I mean, I don't give a damn what they do. I don't give a damn what they do. I don't give a damn what they get. I got Michael Irvin, the playmaker, coming on my show, Stephen A's World, on ESPN Plus. Talk about he's casket clean. Not clean, Max. He's casket clean, okay? And he's representing the Dallas Cowboys. And you just wait. They're going to be in the Super Bowl. They're going to be so fly as SoFi. That's what he said, Max Kellerman. That's what he was talking about because I was talking about SoFi Stadium in L.A. next year. This is the kind of nonsense that comes out of the mouth of people who wear pom-poms for the Dallas Cowboys. You got a ringleader that's a three-time Super Bowl champion. I understand where the playmaker's coming from. Michael Irvin with that, probably in a weight room now, buffing like he ready to play for them again. It ain't gonna help. It don't matter. What can go wrong will go wrong. Now, I don't know what that is. Because it just fluctuates year to year. I mean, Max Kellerman, I don't know. One year they stink up the joint. Another year they play competitive until Thanksgiving. And then they stink from Thanksgiving through Christmas. Another year Dak Prescott goes down. He's hurt. Another year they use back-to-back-to-back last games of the regular season with a division title on the line. It doesn't matter. These are the sickening, disgusting, nauseating fan base that is the Dallas Cowboy fans that we're talking about. Because they're so arrogant, because they're so disgusting, because they're like cockroaches, a nuclear bomb can drop and somehow, someway, a Dallas Cowboy fan will survive. Here's the reality. It still means that you'll just be there to give us your sad face and highlight how the Dallas Cowboys have let you down again. I know they got Quinn. I mean, stop the presses, Mac. Did you hear the news? I mean, Quinn is their new defensive coordinator. Mike Nolan, who should have never been pulled out of the archives to come and coach the defensive side of the ball last year, like Mike McCarthy did. Oh, I mean, stop the presses. Quinn, who's no longer the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons because they couldn't play defense. Now this dude is going to lead the Dallas Cowboys defense. Have at it. Just go there and go. Go get your tight end, Jerry. Mortgage them. Do what you got to do. It doesn't matter. What can go wrong will go wrong because these are the Cowboys that we're talking about. They'll just fold in a postseason now instead of the regular season. Just wait, Max. Be patient. Just wait. The fall is coming, Cowboys, as it always does.
Surviving a nuclear apocalypse like roaches. Stephen A., before I begin, yeah, may I just ask again, because something caught my attention. This Stephen A.'s World sounds intriguing. Where can I find it?
ESPN Plus. 4 days a week. Monday, Tuesday, ESPN Thursday, and Plus. Friday.
big-time guests on, I understand, and ESPN Plus well worth one of the best bangs for your entertainment bucks. But
thank
enough
you so
shilling.
Much.
I mean it, but enough shilling.
That's right.
So let me just say,
Max Kellerman's radio show.
That
I listen to that too. I yes, listen yes. to the radio
well,
show.
Well, we
Max
can do that.
Kellerman.
We'll plug
can I,
my
can
show
I
another
a plug?
Time.
First take, her take every
it.
Wednesday.
All right. Okay.
There it is.
I guess I have to throw in a shameless plug. First take, her take. Podcast myself, Janae.
I'm waiting for my invite, Charlie. I'm waiting for my invite.
You are always invited. We need your schedule. You're always busy.
That's right.
We don't even know where you are.
We're not feeling the love. We're not feeling love.
Don't worry.
Janae,
this is what
Charlie,
Stephen A. feels he's underexposed.
No love.
Charlie,
I'm hurt.
It's gonna happen
Charlie,
soon
Stephen
enough.
Stephen A. feels he's underexposed
you might regret
on the
this.
Network. He needs to be seen.
Yes.
Listen, I basically, unfortunately, agree with your take, Stephen A. In this sense, you want to take Pitts because he's available. He's the best player available. I'm all for drafting the best player and not for need, right? But moving up in the draft to take a guy like Pitts. That's an Al Davis move, right? Al Davis does, you know, line them all up, see who runs the fastest. I'll take that guy. Pitts is a receiving tight end who, you know, blocks fine from, you know, but is not like known as a blocking tight end. And really where the Cowboys are going to need help right now is actually on the offensive line. This ain't your slightly older cousin's offensive line where they were drafting in the first round like 4 out of 5 years and put together this juggernaut up front. That line ain't there anymore. That's where they really need help, and they need help on the defense. And you know what this reminds me of a little bit, Stephen A.? In 2014, the guy who you know Jerry Jones had to be like, ooh, I want that guy, was Johnny Manziel. How could he not? Johnny Football. How could he not? Jerry Jones thought, oh, he could be the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. Cooler heads prevailed. And they took Zach Martin, an offensive lineman, right? Not a big, sexy pick, a much more boring pick. And look what happened. Zach Martin just, you know, the best available player, excellent offensive lineman, added to that juggernaut up front that I talked about. I'm not saying the Dallas Cowboys need to draft for need. They need a defense. They need an offensive lineman. No. Draft the best available player. If Pitts is there at 10, and you think he's the best, he's the highest-rated player on your board, take him. But if they trade up for a pass-catching tight end with that offense that they already have, you know what, Stephen A.? I hope they do. In fact, what am I saying? Jerry, you should trade up and take Pitts. Go Big Blue.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I want to be careful now because I love my buddy Jerry. I like Jerry. I like Jerry a lot. And I hope that we can have that beer or that glass of wine together that man promised me, because I'm looking forward to sit down with him and Steven. I actually like the Cowboys. It doesn't bother me. It's the Cowboy fans that get on my last damn nerve. And that's why I can't wait to hold all this COVID stuff passes. And we're back there in Texas. And we're out there and we show up and do our show right down the road from AT&T Stadium, a.k.a. Hey, Jerry World, I want that packed to capacity. I want to make sure, I hope it's during the playoff game, because do you know what it would do for me, Max Kellerman, if I showed up to do First Take in front of all those Cowboy fans and then we watch the game with them together and they lose? They lose right in front of my presence, right in a playoff game. Do you know? I mean, my goodness, I don't know how good that would feel. That would be special. You know what that reminds me of? When they lost to the Los Angeles Rams, Max, I went to the game and they put me up on the Jumbotron, right? And they booed the living hell out of me, all those Cowboys, sickening Cowboy fans that showed up, right? When I showed up to the Coliseum a couple of years ago when they lost the playoff game, right? So all the after they lost the game, Max, I went back to the JW Marriott in LA Live. I think I told you I did this. I was waiting in the lobby for the Cowboy fans, who's always like, "How about them Cowboys, Stephen A.?" And always want a picture. And I went through the door. I said, "Y'all don't want a picture? Y'all don't want to shake my hand? Come on. I was there to greet all the Cowboy fans that had walked through the hotel, and they were scurrying. They were just scurrying like ants and then scattered when you hear footsteps coming your way. You couldn't find Cowboy fans would disappear. You should have seen them running away from me because the team had lost. And this is exactly what's going to happen to them again. Now, I feel bad for my buddy Jerry because I don't wish that on him. But those fans, I can't stand them. And nothing pleases me more than to see a Cowboy fan miserable. I'm looking forward to this. This is going to be a beautiful year. It's going to be a beautiful year.
I think you do wish that on Jerry because you didn't get invited to the slumber party a couple years ago. Remember the big slumber party you had, and you didn't get invited? I think you wish it on him.
I would appreciate a trip to the yacht. If Jerry invited me on the yacht, it might compromise me a little bit. I might have to be nicer. Because that yacht is slammed.
It really is. It's a nice boat.
We know
I've
if
seen
Stephen
it
A.
from
comes on
afar.
This show talking good about the Cowboys, he was on the yacht.
I was on the yacht.
Well, on the subject of best available, Mel Kiper Jr. did say that Kyle Pitts is the best overall player other than Trevor Lawrence in this draft. Not only that, Todd McShay said that if he had to choose one player in this draft to make the Pro Football Hall of Fame one day, he would also take Pitts. So just in terms of best available, but Stephen A. still might have no impact on this accident waiting
Zero.
To happen.
And I don't want Pitts to come on the air and say, I want to be a Cowboy. I hope he never does that.
Maybe that's another guest for the show. Might be a good one.
Oh, he's always welcome on. Listen,
coming weeks leading
we
up.
Are only allergic to scrubs. If you can play, we have you. We're happy to have you on.
All right. I like it.
I'm allergic
okay.
to scrubs.
No, yeah, absolutely.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes. So they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's lectricebikes.com.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
All right, we already know all eyes are going to be on Augusta as Masters Week takes off with one notable omission. That would be Tiger Woods. Tiger underwent several hours of emergency surgery to repair what doctors called significant injuries to his lower right leg and ankle in a single car wreck outside L.A. on February 23rd. Now, Woods is a five-time Masters champion. He last won the event in 2019. So, Max, will Tiger ever win another major?
I believe he will, and maybe it's like just being optimistic, but he seemed like the reports have been, and he's reported that he's at home, he's recovering, he's continuing rehab. The prognosis, as far as I understand, is that once the major injury, like it heals up and then he has to rehab the muscles and stuff like that, if he's able to walk again, he should be able, in my view, to play golf again. And I think he will be so motivated at this point to win a major, and you get four bites at the apple or potentially every single year, and you can play, you know, until later in your life in golf. This is not basketball, a very athletic game we're talking about. This is a game that requires discipline, you know, mental discipline, small motor skills, hand-eye coordination. It's very mechanical. And so, listen, he came back from discs in his back, guys, which would affect your swing, in my view, way more than a foot and ankle, provided that it heals up. I'm going to say he'll have enough bites at the apple going forward when he gets together. And Stephen A., maybe more importantly, be motivated enough to write the final chapter of his golf career on his terms, that eventually he will, in fact, win another major.
Max, I sure hope you're right, but I have to confess to you, I don't believe it for one second. It is golf that we're talking about here, and I understand that. It's not like it's football or anything. those injuries seem pretty significant when you talk about broken ankles, broken bones. He almost killed himself and whatever. Not like intentionally. I'm certainly not implying that. I'm just talking about the car accident, the severity of the car accident itself. At age 45, to ask yourself to rehabilitate yourself when you were having a tough time doing that before the car accident, I just don't see it. You have to take into consideration the level of competition that you're going up against, the Dustin Johnson, the Justin Thomases of the world, the Brooks Koepkas of the world, and others. You just have world-class golfers all over the place who are considerably younger, considerably healthier. And I understand that what you're asking somebody to do is just basically achieve for 4 days. That's how you win a tournament. I get it. I understand that. But I just think that it's entirely too much to ask. Is it impossible? No. And if anybody could do it, it's Tiger. And obviously, the way to get Tiger highly motivated is to tell him he can't do something. But there's a difference between telling somebody you can't do something because of your abilities and telling somebody that you can't do something because of your health. And when you look at his health, it's just been severely compromised. And I don't see him overcoming that to be a major player in the game again. I'd be shocked if he pulled it off. I'd be very, very happy and proud of him if he did. Not that that matters. But I do think that it's a tall order to ask. I think it's entirely too much, and I just can't see him doing it. I just can't.
The injuries, you said they seem significant. They were very significant. He actually narrowly avoided having his leg amputated, doctor said. So we definitely wish him a speedy recovery. Health and recovery, his main focus right now. But as for later today, the L.A. Sheriff's Department is going to
Alex
be releasing
Smith,
details.
Alex Smith, too. He played in the NFL.
Yeah, never say never. You never know what can happen. Later today, the Sheriff's Department from L.A. County is going to be releasing details about that one car crash, and that's going to be happening around 1 o'clock. So maybe we'll get a little more information there as far as what exactly happened and how it happened.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, experience it live.
When you're in one place for 20 years, you think that's the only way. And I think when you go to a different place, you realize, wow, there's another way that people do things.
Okay, Tom Brady on Good Morning America this morning. Some interesting comments about the Patriots' way, don't you think? Stephen A., what's up?
Before I get into all of that, Charlie, Max Kellerman, I got a confession to make. So I wake up this morning because I'm in L.A., you know, and I pride myself on having a pretty fly wardrobe. You know, I'm not trying to look like the Matrix 5 days a week like Max Kellerman or Men in Black. You know, I like to diversify. I'm trying to diversify my portfolio, right? And so I'm sitting up there, right, and I'm getting ready to put on an outfit, Max, Charlie, and y'all going to crack up laughing. If I'm lying, I'm crying. It was the same damn outfit Marcus Spears got on. I got the blazer and I had the shirt.
No.
And I said, oh, hell no. Hell to the no. No, that man does not have on. I looked at my blazer and I looked at the TV. I had to literally zoom it out. I said, no, this man does not have my blazer. The wife pull Sutton off because he ain't on my level. He ain't supposed to be on my level. But the man got the blazer, the cream-colored shirt like that, and the tanner shirt. I would like to, damn it. And I threw the damn thing back in the closet, and I had to pull this out, Marcus. I literally was literally going to wear that shirt and that blazer until I turned on Get Up, and I saw Marcus Spears, Swag Goo, rocking the blazer in the shirt.
Look at Fly.
Hell no.
And those glasses.
I said, I cannot get to the air
with the same outfit as Swag Goo. I can't do it.
He's called Swag Goo for
a
reason, all right?
I figured that would have to be custom made. Marcus ain't buying off the rack. No. At the big and tall store? Oh. Stephen A., shopping at the big and tall store?
For this guy.
Hey, fellas, this is the finest of Jay Hilburn, my suit company, by the way, that supplies me suits. Just because I know everybody think just Steve, Charlie, everybody think that you, because you own WWE and you've been doing your thing for a long time.
Not anymore.
And Stephen A. and Max, y'all got stylists. Right? Not you. You hear it.
I'm full-time here, baby.
But what I'm saying is you all have experienced the wardrobe giving from somebody. Let me enjoy and look good in with my people at Jay Hilburn, man. Let me do my thing.
You can talk about Jay Hilburn all you want to. That's Mrs. Spears all day. You ain't fooling nobody. That's Mrs. Spears. That's who that is.
Marcus, you need to be like the girls on Instagram. The girls on Instagram, you know, you find a nice backdrop, you strike a pose, and then you tag your clothing items. That's how you do.
Let's roll, y'all.
Influencer status.
About to do it. Okay.
Okay, speaking of influencing, we just heard Tom Brady talk about the Patriots way. He had said that he had been with the organization for 20 years. He thought the Patriots way was the only way. Now, after coming to a new organization, he found that's actually not the case. So, Max, what do you make of these comments?
I think he's being real, tell you the truth. I mean, I think we've all experienced this in our own lives, right? You know, you don't know if another way works or doesn't, but you know you do things a certain way, and that's worked for you. And it's hard to get out of that mentality. I think about our own Teddy Atlas, right? I think about my grandfather. Like, people who do things a certain way and have done it that way their whole lives and know that's the straight and narrow. If I stay on this path, it's all right. I don't know about another way. But when you break out of it, guys, I'll tell you a story. My grandfather was never late anywhere. He used to get ready so far in advance, I'd be like, Zeta, that means grandfather in Yiddish. Zeta, what are you doing? We don't have to be there for 2 hours. The man never came late to an appointment, lived to 95. To 95, never came late to an appointment. One time he had to come late. Once there was a track fire or something in the subway, but he'd given himself an extra hour, so showed up like a minute early. 95 years, never late. Some people have been used to doing it a certain way, and they know that works. That's Belichick. And that's what he gave to Brady. I don't know about how these other teams do it. This is how we do it here. And how could you argue with the results? But what Brady found was more than one way to do it. You know, like, I'm on a really talented team, and I can do my thing and don't need the restraints, or just I can color outside the lines, or don't really need to walk down the same path that coach has had me walk all these years. And it must feel really liberating, especially when you win the Super Bowl that way. Like, they can't even tell you, well, yeah, you can have some success, but that's not how a champion does it. Who knows more about championships than Brady? And now guys like me can't even say, well, yeah, he had Belichick. Because the first year he didn't have Belichick, he won the Super Bowl again. Didn't make the playoffs. Didn't get to the NFC Championship game. Won the Super Bowl.
Let me tell you what I peel from this. Max, I don't disagree with anything that you said, but I want to take a moment to give a personal thanks to Tom Brady. And here's why. You know, for him to achieve what he has achieved, you know what? When you say stuff like this and you throw out nuggets of material like that, conceivably you could charge for it. Give a speech, show up for a public appearance, a paid speaking engagement or something like that. But to just do an interview and to say something that appears relatively generic, but is so applicable to the lives of hundreds of millions of people. Think about you, Max. Think about me. Think about you, Swag Goo, Charlie, and others.
who gets to escape the notion of being so accustomed to doing something one way that you're addicted to it, and then you find yourself stuck in a rut because you were scared to alter and to make changes and modifications, particularly at that later on in life in your career. 20 years in, he makes a change and goes out and succeeds. Mm-hmm. Think about how powerful that is. And I think that it's incredibly important to really extend a hand to him, a hand of gratitude, that he reveals something like that. It's not in depth. It doesn't appear that deep on the surface, but it's so deep, because when you think about where we are at our point in life, you know, I've quote unquote made it. Max, you quote unquote made it. Swagoo, you certainly doing your thing. Charlie, I'm more and more proud of you every single day at the great things that you're doing for yourself and beyond. And we work with a bunch of people that do it. But I remember when I was in the newspaper industry and everybody was talking about, damn, how did all of this happen? You know when it started happening for me, guys? When I was working at the Philadelphia Inquirer, but I saw print media going in a different direction. The advent of the digital age and social media and all of these other things. Talk radio was blowing up. Television was obviously the potent medium that it was. And I'm saying, wait a minute. How could I utilize the level of expertise that I've been able to conjure up and acquire over these years and parlay that into doing this? I'm not deviating from what I'm doing in terms of being a journalist, but the medium with which I do it, it might be better suited for talk radio, because I was a columnist at the Philadelphia Inquirer before I departed. So it might be better for me to do it. Instead of talking with 800 words to 1,000 words, now I get to talk for 2 hours. Or I get to be on television, you know, for, you know, with 12 to different 15 different segments a show. To make that transition put me in a position where the rewards that I reaped from it were exponential compared to what I was doing in the newspaper industry, because I had the foresight to see the direction that it was going in, and I wasn't afraid to make that change. Well, Tom Brady took it to another level, and that's essentially what he's talking about. So I think it's a lesson for everybody to learn. Don't be afraid of change, particularly when it's really the environment that you're talking about, as opposed to you completely going into a different direction and doing something totally different than you've been doing. He's still playing football. It's just for a different team. And he wasn't afraid of change. And as a result, look at him. He's officially the GOAT. And I think it's something that we should all just step back, take a moment, and really say to Tom Brady, thank you so much for letting us know that. Because it's going to give a lot of other people courage to make change in whatever stratosphere they're living in.
Yeah, hits on a lot of levels.
Yeah. What you and Max said, Stephen A. is pointing, right? Like, you got to become comfortable with being uncomfortable. And say that's something you told me in our talks privately. Like, you have to do things that seem out of the ordinary to most people in order to achieve something great. And we all sat here and talked about Tom Brady. Why would you leave New England? You've had all of this success. But he wanted to go prove to himself that there was another way. And that's why I used to get, like, so conflicted with the Tom Brady, Bill Belichick conversation, and who was it more? Both of these guys want a standard as competitors. The great ones, like, they all do something drastic. That is one common denominator between all of the great athletes that we've seen throughout history, or great people, or people that we consider to have done extraordinary things, is that they did what most people weren't willing to do in order to either stamp that, or they took advantage of a position that they were in. So I think that's what it is from Tom Brady. I think it's profound. Like, you think about Jordan going play baseball, like the great ones. You think about Prime going play baseball and football. Like, the great ones do drastic things. And look, that to that point where him saying there's another way, we all know that there's another way to success. I think everybody inherently knows that. But the ones that are willing to go explore that are the ones that change the world and do things way on a different scale than most of us. And I think that's where Tom Brady is coming from. And to your point, Stephen A., kudos to him. And he'll light the path for more guys to take opportunities that may come their way that don't seem to fit what they're doing at that current time, but, you know, look at situations of the great ones and say all of these guys made drastic changes in order to come back and do something great. Take Tiger winning the Masters. Take MJ coming back and winning three. Take LeBron leaving Miami and going back to Cleveland. Like, those stories go on and on about these great ones that made drastic changes and ended up coming out on the good side.
Yeah, all those great examples why sports is so much fun and so great. Go ahead, Max.
None of that means you just go, you know, headlong into the abyss, into a bad situation. Tom Brady set himself up.
Right,
chose the right team. But recall, we were all like, Tampa? Damn, they're loaded. But this really isn't about your brand. You're trying to win. He chose the situation that was most conducive to winning and then took the leap. But it just goes to show you, as you guys are focusing on change, it takes courage to make change in your life, even in retrospect when it's so obvious. It's warm weather, no taxes, great team around him. Who wouldn't want to do that? Well, you think about your own life. Something new, especially when you've had success doing it another way, is a big thing. One thing I'll say about Stephen A., your situation, I think that's a little different. I think what happened to you, you don't choose your profession. Your profession chooses you. You were going to wind up on TV, brother. I don't think it was up to you. You know, that's the way it is.
It is. I will confess, it is a natural and marvelous fit, if I should say so myself, yes. Stephen A. and
TV. You know what?
I should have left that alone.
Just kill the segment.
Should have left that alone.
All right, now let's go. Let's kill the whole Kumbaya segment. Let's just blow it up. He's back. SA is back.
Yeah, right. No.
Y'all not gonna let that slide. Y'all not gonna let that slide, Max. You're not gonna let that slide.
You know what, though? This actually lends itself well to also Aaron Rodgers. Did Jeopardy choose him? Could there be a new career path for Aaron Rodgers? That's another discussion for another day, but we're all enjoying watching Jeopardy for the next couple weeks. Let's move on, though, because there is a team that is rather stuck in their ways. I'm talking about the Cowboys, and according to our very own Chris Mortensen, longtime owner and GM Jerry Jones is, quote, infatuated with Florida Gators tight end Kyle Pitts. Pitts widely considered the best non-quarterback talent in this draft. Now, the Cowboys currently have the number 10 picked in the 2021 draft, but Mortensen believes Jones could trade up in order to select Pitts to join the Cowboys as another offensive weapon for Dak Prescott. Stephen A., let's start with you here. What do you think the Cowboys' draft strategy should be?
Is this a question for me?
This is for you, Stephen A., yes.
I think they need to improve their defense. I think that's what they need to prioritize. They can put up points, but the more you let your defense go, the more pressure it puts on the offense to overcompensate and to overproduce. And once you do that, you endanger the personnel that you have on that side of the ball. Whether it's Dak Prescott, whether it's Ezekiel Elliott and others, you're going to have the ball anyway and you're going to be able to do some things. But you've got to be able to stop people. You can't be the 31st ranked defense against the run in the National Football League and expect success when people know they can run on you all day, every day. You cannot be a team that's the 28th ranked defense overall. That's inexcusable. You just can't pull that off in the National Football League and expect there to be any degree of success. There's a reason why they say defense wins championships. I think that's something that needs to be paid attention to. And in my opinion, the Dallas Cowboys, certainly you got to get the best player. If there's somebody that's head and shoulders above everybody else on the defensive side of the ball, that would be different. But last time I checked, there was an elite corner out there named Sertan out of Alabama, if I remember correctly. And the bottom line is whether it's him or somebody else, you've got to buffer up that defense because that's going to give your offense more opportunities to do some things instead of putting exponential pressure on them because the defense can't stop any damn body.
Well, I would say the strategy should be in every draft, take the best available player. If that's Kyle Pitts, if he falls to 10, I wouldn't trade up to take an offensive player if I was the Cowboys. That I agree with. But if Pitts is there at 10, take them if there's no comparable talent on the defensive end. Now, if there is comparable talent, Stephen A., I'm with you, they need to improve the defense. So if there's a guy on defense, if that's Surtain or whoever they think it is, they'd be like, that's kind of a comparable player in terms of talent. We have him rated on the board right there with Pitts. Get great, take him. But if Pitts, as Mel Kiper Jr. and others have pointed out, is the best player in the draft or the second best next to Trevor Lawrence, regardless of position, then take him. Yeah, you figure that the rest of that stuff out later. Stephen A., what do I always say about what Bobby Knight said when he was asked, who should we draft, right? Portland, he said draft Jordan. But we have Drexler, we need a center. He said draft Jordan, play him at center. Take the best available guy, but I don't think Pitts is going to be there at 10.
Oh, man, listen, it's legit arguments. Y'all, I hope to God Kyle Pitts ain't there at 10 because Dallas don't need him. I get it. I understand the talent. And if he's sitting there, it's too enticing not to take that level of talent. But trying to solidify defense, a cornerback in Surtain or J.C. Horn or even Kelvin Joseph out of Kentucky, defensive linemen on the interior, Barmore, Tyrone Crawford retired this year. You need to solidify that side of the ball. You just brought in a new defensive coordinator who's going to bring the 4-3 back. So all of those guys who we respected and thought were top tier at their position should be better football players. But I think you continue to solidify that side. And then even if we're talking about the offensive side of the football, if Kyle Pitts is there, I get it. It's too hard. He's too good. You can't pass that up. But they need O-line depth, y'all. We watched what happened last year when the injuries start to pile up. There was no chance up front for this offensive line either. So, look, from the standpoint to what you said, Max, like Jordan is available, right? And it's easy to talk about that now because we know Jordan of how we know Jordan. But coaches see it as well. They took DeMarcus Ware 11th, took me 20th. That was the right call by Jerry Jones. Obviously, a Hall of Famer that ended up being a franchise changer. At 10, when you need an impact guy on the defensive side of the football and one is identifiable and that's the weakness, you take that guy. But I'm with y'all. If Kyle Pitts is sitting there at 10, it's going to be hard as hell for the Dallas Cowboys or any team that even already had a tight end to pass up that level of talent. I just pray he ain't there because Dallas needs more. We need more. And there's got to be a emphasis put on need more so than the talent that's there.
I tell you what else I think that goes on with Jerry sometimes. Like, offense is sizzle. Offense is box office. Offense makes you money. And I think when he thinks about having a tight end like this kid, and you're talking about pairing him with a Cooper, with a Gallup, with a CeeDee Lamb, and with Ezekiel Elliott in the backfield, and you just decided to give Dak Prescott that money, it's a high-powered offense. Now, Jerry Jones talked about prioritizing, ultimately capturing the Super Bowl because he's looking at his own mortality. Fair enough, but I truly, truly believe that when something like this happens, if he were to make this move, it's because he's the businessman and Jerry takes over, and he's thinking box office. That's what he's thinking about. But I would remind him, Dan Marino had Mark Super Duper, Mark Clayton, Dan Fouts had Charlie Joyner and Kellen Winslow Sr. and Chuck Muncy and those boys. High-powered offense. No Super Bowl to show
SA.
For it.
S.A., to your point, therein lies the issue. This is why we go in this ever-revolving circle about Jerry Jones being involved in the decision-making, because that sizzle does get him. That is a part of what he kind of confines himself to when we get around draft time. I'm going to take you all back. Do you remember when Travis Frederick was drafted and Zach Martin and the Dallas Cowboy fans was like, what in the hell are we doing taking a center in the first round? I was in that same vein because you automatically think in the draft, go get the best guy. But the decisions were the right ones. Dallas, had it not been for injury or just moving parts, arguably for a three-year run, had the best offensive line. We thought about Zeke as the best running back. Dak was able to thrive faster than most young quarterbacks can because they solidified that part of their team. I get it with Kyle Pitts, but please don't lose focus on the things that need to happen. Your offense is good outside of depth. From an offensive line standpoint, you have weapons. You have the quarterback. Defensively, with a new D coordinator, you need to try to find a game changer on that side of the ball. And please do it and don't get caught up in the Kyle Pitts saga. I hope he's not there, y'all.
Well, Pitts could definitely help the numbers as far as tight ends traditionally have been with the Cowboys, because since 2016, tight ends for Dallas have ranked 19th in receiving yards and 22nd in receiving touchdowns. So could be an improvement there. But again, and all about that box office sizzle. Okay, guys, let's move to Seattle because there are some things happening there. The uncertainty of Russell Wilson's future with the Seahawks has really been a hot topic all offseason. However, amid re-signing a new deal with the Seahawks, veteran defensive end Carlos Dunlap said it was Wilson's words that convinced him to stay with the team.
I did ask him if obviously he was going to be with us, because if I'm coming back, I'm coming back because I see him as my quarterback and the rest of the team. I want to pick up where we left off. And he told me that he's with us and he's here to stay. And he said, you know, let's go Hawks. And I'm not going to quote his every word, or these words are not his words verbatim, but these are my explanation of how I interpreted what he said.
Okay, so Russell Wilson said it, but Max, do you buy Wilson's commitment to the Seahawks?
Hell no. Look, of course he's going to tell teammates that Dunlap, whatever, on the defense, on the offensive line. Of course, what is he's going to beat them in the head with all kinds of nonsense, because in that relationship, he needs those guys pulling in the same direction, especially. I'm not forgetting about defense players. The offensive line, he needs protecting them. No, they haven't done a great job in recent years, but I think their performance has been ticking up as the team has devoted more resources in draft pick in terms of draft capital and in terms of financial resources to the line. They realize now, no, we just can't just take any old guy and coach him up. It doesn't work that way. I brought up earlier the trade Max Unger for Jimmy Graham is really when it started going downhill. But Russell Wilson holds on to the ball. He admitted that. That adds to the problems. Let Russ cook. Sometimes it results in touchdowns. Sometimes you get tackled. You get sacked. You get hit. Look, the bottom line is this. He, on the record, had his official representative release the names of four teams he would agree to trade. I don't want to trade, but went through all 31 other teams. Said, no, this, but I don't like the line here, but that market's not right. Probably sat down with his agent, his wife, the whole thing, talked about it, thought about it, and presented the world with four names. Don't tell me you're there for good. Don't tell me you're trying to stay put for good. You wouldn't have done that.
Russell Wilson is winning football games, 10 victories a couple of seasons ago, 11, and then 12 this year. So they've been in the playoffs the last 3 years. They've won one playoff game. We understand that. You yourself have been on the record calling them a very respectable and competitive team. We get all of that. Drew Brees is gone. Aaron Rodgers is having some problems in Green Bay because they don't know how to appreciate greatness. We've got Matt Ryan, and he ain't going to be what he used to be. I know that we look at the West, and we think about L.A. because Matthew Stafford is there, but Jimmy G is in San Francisco. They're about to draft a quarterback, so who knows what that situation is going to, regress into. When I look at Russell Wilson, here's what I see. I see an all-world quarterback who's going to the Hall of Fame, who's a Super Bowl champion, who's been to two Super Bowls, that feels underappreciated by Pete Carroll. I think Pete Carroll is smart enough to look around the football landscape and say, smarter than the Green Bay Packers, by the way, and say, what are my chances of finding another Russell Wilson? I better pay attention. The brothers put me on notice because he's isolated and highlight four teams that he'd rather play for than me. He ain't going to Dallas. So now you've got New Orleans, you've got Chicago. I forgot what the other team was. But the bottom line is you're looking at all of that, and I think this is one of those situations where Pete Carroll is successful for a reason. Pete Carroll is successful even though he could be pigheaded and wants to do things his way. He's smart enough to listen to Russell Wilson say, look, I'm not happy. You're getting on my last damn nerves. And if you don't, and if you're not going to listen to me and watch me continue to get sacked, because I've already been sacked 394 times in my career, 47 times last year, I'm not putting up with this any longer. I think because of that reality, Pete Carroll reached out to him. I think modifications are in the process of being made, and I think that's why Russell Wilson can look a teammate in the face and say, let's go Hawks. I'm not going anywhere. I'm staying here. Because I think he's had those conversations with Pete Carroll once stuff percolated about Seattle, about Russell Wilson wanting out of Seattle. And I think Pete Carroll was smart enough to address that with him. Just guessing.
Give the lullaby. People lie. Period. Like, and I'm with you, Max. Like, this dude literally put out a list of teams that he would be open to being traded to. The relationship was troubled at that point. If it had, obviously it was some things going on and transpiring before that list came out, but that solidified it. Because once it comes to the public eye, especially coming from your team, everything changes. So that's why we're sitting here talking about, like, why would we even focus on Russell Wilson telling Carlos Dunlap that I plan on being here and go Hawks? We wouldn't care about that if we believed it. We don't. Like, nobody believes that Russell Wilson is happy, and we all think he wants to be moved, including Carlos Dunlap. That's why answering that question to the reporter was telling, because the reporter asked the question based on the fact that Russell Wilson is not committed to the Seattle Seahawks. And until he says he is, until he says, I'm here to stay, I like the moves that we're making, I'm going to be the quarterback for the Seattle Seahawks, I'm not changing my tune. Russell Wilson wants out of Seattle, obviously, but Russell Wilson telling his teammate, a defensive end that they picked up last year in a trade or off waivers, is not convincing me that he's committed to the Seattle Seahawks. Y'all can be Booby the Fool. I'm not going to be one.
All right. The man has spoken. Hey, Marcus, we thank you so much. Don't forget your Instagram post later. We want the full outfit, and I want to see what shoes you have on, although I'm pretty sure you don't have any professional-looking shoes on right now.
Slippers, LSU slippers.
All right.
Y'all know I ain't tripping. I don't hide nothing.
All right, well, we support it. Marcus, thank you so much. Okay,
bye,
guys.
Man.
Bye. Yeah, keep stealing Stephen A's outfits, too. We like that. Bye. Make him work for his outfit.
Hang your jacket back up. Bye, Max.
All right, guys. The two exciting teams in the West match up tonight on ESPN. The two-seed Suns hosting the top-seed Jazz. So, Stephen A., who do you feel better about right now? Is it the Suns or is it the Jazz?
Still going to go with the Jazz. I love what I'm seeing from the Suns. I've been incredibly impressed, no doubt. Devin Booker's a star, CP3. You can say he's an MVP candidate because of his leadership with the Phoenix Suns and Monty Williams and Randy Ayers and Willie Green and that coaching staff. Can't say enough about the job that they've done. And I love the progress I'm seeing from DeAndre Ayton as well. But I think that there's still a piece or so away. They're a relatively young team. I think next year will be more promising than this year. When I look at the Jazz, great three-point shooting team, great defensive team in the interior and on the perimeter, and they have Donovan Mitchell. I think the combination of all of those things and the number one seed that they are, I think I go with the Jazz at this particular moment in time.
We see how long they'll be the number one seed. Phoenix is coming. And they were 8-0 in the bubble, and then they brought in Chris Paul. And Conley and Donovan Mitchell, that's a whole lot. Chris Paul and Devin Booker's an even better backcourt. And if Utah has a slight advantage elsewhere, maybe a slight one, give me the team with the backcourt that has the ball in their hands and can do it on the level of CP3 and Devin Booker. I think.
Well, it's going to be a good one, and we're going to be breaking it down tomorrow. These two guys are off, so guess what? You get the ladies tomorrow. It's the First Take, Her Take over. We hope to see you there. Thanks for watching.